नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supremest human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the commentator, translator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead who is worshipped with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26. Today's verse is text 38, which is again in the expanded prose form, so I'll just read the verse. Nivritti lakshana marga adaveva vyakyataha etavan evanda koshayash chatur nashadha puraneshu vikopita upagiyate yattad bhagavato narayanasya sakshan maha purushasya stavishtang rupam atma maya gunamayam anavarnitam adritaha patati shrinoti shavayati sa upageyam bhagavata paramatmano grahyam api shraddha bhakti vishuddha buddhir beda. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse: in the beginning, and then parenthetically, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by His energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virat Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it, or explains it to others, to propagate Bhagavata Dharma, or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. So we're getting to the end of this 26th chapter. And Shukadeva Goswami is, you could say, kind of summarizing that. He's mentioning here that in the beginning, referring to the second and third cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. So this is giving some indication as to what is the responsibility of a human being, how to live responsibly. If we recall, in the very beginning, in the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit, he had inquired, what is the duty of a human being, and especially of one who is about to die? So that one who is about to die refers to everybody. We're all about to die. It's just a matter of whether it's tomorrow or a few more tomorrows after that. Prabhupada said once that age is dependent on when you're going to die. So let's say there's a 16-year-old young man or woman who is going to die tomorrow. And they have a grandmother or grandfather who is 80 years old but is going to live for another 15 years. So who's older? the child who's 16 years old who's going to die tomorrow is actually older because his life is over tomorrow. Whereas the grandma or grandpa who's already 80 but is going to live another 15 years, you could consider them younger. So our age, obviously on the spiritual platform, we're all the same age. Now we're yovanim, eternal. But from the material perspective, we make these calculations. Somebody's 16, oh, they're young, they have a long life ahead of them. Somebody else is 80, oh, they're going to die tomorrow. That's not necessarily true. As we know, probably doesn't happen too often here, but almost regularly in the United States, somebody goes off and gets a gun and goes and shoots up someplace. Nowadays, schools are very popular to shoot up. So, 16, 17-year-old children, they go to school, they don't go home. That's it. Life is over. Interestingly, in about, I think it was 1994, 95, because I had read, you know, Prabhupada emphasized that the material education, it's a slaughterhouse. And this wasn't made up by Prabhupada. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that. Material education is like a slaughterhouse. So I mentioned that in one class, and one Mataji, not to pick on women, but this particular Mataji, she was very upset. She said, how can you say that? The material schools are better than the ISKCON schools. And she's going on and on, and don't say that. And almost like clockwork, within a few days, was the very first big high school shooting in the United States. It's called Columbine. A couple of boys went to school and shot up the whole school. Slaughterhouse, literally and figuratively. Material education, slaughterhouse. So, we're very fortunate we've come in contact with genuine spiritual knowledge. And we should take advantage of it. We should take advantage of it. After being asked this question by Maharaj Pariksit, what is the duty of a person in general, especially one who's about to die, then we begin the second chapter. We begin the response of Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto. So he starts out by glorifying the king, that Gariya Neshate Prashna Krita Loka Nirpa Jana. He said, oh my dear king, Nirpa, king, your question is glorious because the answer to this question is beneficial for everyone. Everyone. Everybody's asking questions. Prabhupada repeated that many times. The birds are asking questions. Where is the worm? Where is the bird feeder? You know, they're always asking some question. Human beings are asking, what's the price of stock? What's the price of this? Everybody's always asking questions. But this question, Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Maharaj Pariksit. What is the duty of a person who's about to die? That is a very important question. And the answer is beneficial to everyone because we're all about to die. So then, interestingly, how does Shukadeva Goswami begin his response? Again, he doesn't start talking about Krishna's Leela and this and that. He describes the mentality of those who are not Krishna conscious. Shotavyadini Rajana, Nuram Shanti Saharsasa, Apashitam, Atmatattam, Griheshu, Grihamedinam. Thank you, Maharaj. That those who are not Krishna conscious, who are not even interested in Krishna consciousness, they have thousands of topics. Shotavyadini Rajana. They have thousands of topics that they want to hear about. Art and music and travel and food and this and that, on and on and on. And if you ask them to spend 2 minutes to hear something from Bhagavad, I have no time. But they'll sit down with, as Prabhupada used to say, bunches of newspaper. Even in today's digital age, they still do that. You know, I was on my flights here, still, especially the older people, they want the newspaper. They get the newspaper and they spread out big newspaper, reading. What are you going to find there? The most interesting thing that you're going to find in a newspaper is a weather report. So you know how to dress properly. Everything else is just nonsense, you know, sports scores and, you know, this politician said that and this politician said this, and it's the same thing just going around and around like a dog chasing his tail. No difference. So those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, who don't know that they're about to die and therefore they're not interested in these subject matters, but they have to fill their time because as human beings, we're not dead stone. We have interests, things that we want to know about. And ultimately, what we want to know about is how can I enjoy in this material world? So, Shukadeva Goswami explains that next. Ninjaya arhiyate naktam bhiyave vachavavayam. Diva chartehe amraja kutumba bharanehanava. He says, those people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, they only want to hear about all these material topics. This is what their life, you summarize their life in this verse. Nidraya huriyate naktam. At night, they want to sleep. Vivayena chavavayam, or engage in sex life. That's their night. Diva charte haya rajan. Kutumba bharanehanava. And during the daytime, where is money? Where is money? How to find money? Legally or illegally, they want money, 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 money. Why? So they can maintain the family and maintain them, their own bodies. That's it. That's their life. And while they're engaged in such activities, again, they have no time to hear about Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious subject matters. They don't care. They're thinking it's not so important. You guys can believe what you want to believe, but get out of my way. I got to make money, make money, make money, money, money. So then, Sukadeva Goswami explains that this is not right. You're taking shelter of false soldiers, Atma Saineshu. These are called Atma Saineshu. These are false soldiers. They will not give you protection. Dehapatra Kalacharishu Atma Saineshu Asachuapi Tesham Pramana Nidanam Pashanapi Na Pashati. You see, they're taking shelter of these false soldiers, beginning with the body. See, I have to maintain the body nice and fit. I noticed on the way to Harinam and coming back yesterday, so many people are out there running, even in the winter time. They're running, some faster than others, but running seems to be very popular here for staying in shape. So yes, one can do something, or one should do something to keep the body fit. But why do we want to keep the body fit? Not for our sense gratification. The body actually does not belong to us. When something belongs to someone, that should be used for their satisfaction. Not for your satisfaction. For their satisfaction. So if you have a friend who is like when I was, before I joined at age 21, so somewhere around that before, I had one pretty close friend, and he had a friend that was just more like an acquaintance to me, not really a close friend. And this person was very well-to-do. Had big estate. This is New York City, and he lived outside the city by about 2 hours like that, so big estate and many cars, including vintage cars, and so you could say renowned, so detached. He would go away for a weekend and tell my friend, you can come and visit. So we would go there. He's not even at home. And we enjoy his estate and we drive his cars. But, so this is our attitude in material life. We want to enjoy others' property. And everything, as we were mentioning yesterday about the sand is provided by God. So if you take sand and turn it into glass and make a big glass factory and make a lot of money, that money belongs to Krishna. Because the raw material for your glass came from Krishna. You cannot make sand. You cannot make sand. Something as simple as sand, you cannot make it. You cannot make it. It's provided by God. So the bodies that we have, they're also provided by Krishna. And therefore they should be used in Krishna service. And yes, we should keep them fit for serving Krishna. Indriyani paranya hur indriya parakmana manasastu parabuddhi yobude paratakstusa. Krishna explains the hierarchy that above dull matter are the working senses, meaning the body. And above the body is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. So if we don't assert our superiority over the intelligence, the mind, and the body, then it will drag us into all kinds of bad situations that we have to suffer for in the future. And like the hellish planets have been described here. So we have to assert our position above the intelligence, the mind, and the body. Example I like to use, if somebody is very fit, big muscles, but if the mind is out of order, they're crazy, you never know what they're going to do from one moment to the next. Do you want to employ such a person to work for you? No. Because you never know that he may use his physical power, or she, nowadays a lot of women are also, may use the physical power for doing what you want them to do, or they may turn it against you, grab you by the neck. And so you cannot trust such a person. It's not enough just to have a fit body, you have to also have a fit mind. But the business of the mind is to accept and reject. Sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting ideas, generally ideas for sense gratification. So, in order to figure things out, you need intelligence. Intelligence, on one level, Prabhupada explains, means the ability to distinguish between matter and spirit and to understand the controller of both. That's one, you could say, simple definition of intelligence. And intelligence, one factor of intelligence is also memory. Nowadays, that's the aspect of intelligence that's most prominent. If you go to school, they expect you to have a good memory and just regurgitate whatever they teach you. They don't really want you to think. Practically, they could put a sign on the university, no thinking allowed. Don't think, just come here, open your head, we pour in all this stuff, and then when you sit down for the exam, you regurgitate whatever we told you. Bam, you pass, you get the degree. They're not training you to think. They claim they're training thinkers, but they don't want you to think. Because if you think, but I don't think I'm this body. Ah, shut up. What do you mean you're not this body? Just regurgitate what we gave you. So that's the aspect of intelligence that's most prominent nowadays. You have to have good memory. But that's not all. Intelligence, again, means discrimination. To discriminate between what should be done and what should not be done. And if we don't have that this proper discrimination, then we are demons. Krishna says that. I'm not saying that. Krishna says it in the 16th chapter. Pravartim cha nivartim cha jana na vidur asara. Nasocham, na pichacharo, nasatyam teshu bidyate. This is the beginning of Krishna's definition of who is a demon. Pravartim cha nivartim cha. They don't know at any moment what they should do and what they should not do. You see? And they're not even interested. They figure whimsically whatever I want to do is okay and whatever I don't want to do, that's also okay. But no, a real human being, what to speak of a devotee, is a person who wants to know at every moment. What should I do and what should I not do? Both things have to be there. We have to know what to do at every moment and what we should not do. Because if we don't understand that properly, then we will wind up in hellish situations. We will do things that we were not supposed to do, and when the reaction comes, because they're ignorant, the main reaction is, why me? Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I give in charity. I like people. I say hi. How are you? I say everybody. I say nicely. So why is something bad happening to me? Because they don't connect the reaction that's coming now with the action that was performed a day ago or 20 years ago or 20 lifetimes ago. This is how karma works. The fruit of karma doesn't come always immediately. Sometimes it does come immediately. We call that instant karma. I've told this story here before, but it's always interesting that I had a friend who is Armenian, and he had a cousin. We were in New York at the time, and this cousin lived in Arizona, desert area. So in the desert, they have these big saguaro cactus. When they get to be about 15 feet tall, 4 or 5 meters tall, they're about 150, 200 years old. It takes a long time for them to grow that tall. But this guy, his pleasure in life, because he worked hard all week, on a Friday, almost like clockwork, he would get his shotgun, get into his pickup truck, drive out in the desert, drink, get drunk, take the boom, and he would shoot down these cactus plants. Again, when they get to be that big, 4 or 5 meters tall, they're 200 years old. So this soul has been standing in this cactus body for 200 years, and some drunk comes along and poof. So one Friday he did that. Got the gun, got the beer, pivo, went to the desert, got drunk, and the thing fell forward and killed him. Instant karma. But karma is not always like that. Sometimes it takes a while for the reaction to come. So we forget the action that we performed that's creating the reaction that has created the reaction that we're getting now. And therefore people always ask, why me? Why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? They can't figure it out. Because they don't understand karma, how the laws of karma work. So this fifth canto, it's pointing out. Already, we had in the earlier part of the fifth canto, Lord Rishabhadev teaching his 100 sons. So, Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang loke kastan kaman arete vidbudamye tatapodivyam putraka yena sattvam shudyan brahmasokyam tuanantam. He said that don't try for the kind of happiness that is available to the dogs and stool-eating hogs, meaning just sense gratification. The same ahara nidra baya maitinamcha, the same eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is there in every species of life. Don't try just for that, he said. You should try for, perform divine austerities that will give you brahmasokyam, tuanantam, give you transcendental pleasure that is everlasting, doesn't end, doesn't have a beginning and an end, like the material sense gratification. And therefore, as Krishna pointed out in the Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, that yehi sangsparshita bhoga dukkha yonaya evate, that those who are intelligent, they don't try for this material sense of gratification. Why? Because it has a beginning and an end. It has a beginning and an end. And we're eternal, so anything that starts and ends is not going to make us happy. We want unlimited, eternal happiness. So this is our good fortune that we have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who is the personification of all of this knowledge, who took such great pains and so much time to produce this literature for us to read, comprehend, assimilate, put to practice. That way we know what to do, what not to do. Pravritim chana vishjana na vidur asra na socham. They're not clean because they don't know what to do and what not to do. They're not clean, internally or externally. Prabhupada was surprised when he went to New York in the 60s that the New Yorkers are so dirty. Many of them, they're lucky if they took bath once in a week. Whereas he said in India, any poor man is taking bath 3 times a day. He was shocked that these Westerners are not clean. So we know from hearing from the Shastra that external cleanliness means the body has 9 gates. 2 eyes, 2 nose, 2 ears, mouth, anus, genital. Every single day, all 9 gates of the body have to be cleansed with water at least once in a day. At least once, preferably more than once. But at least once every day, all 9 gates should be cleansed with water. That is real external cleanliness. If we don't do that, we're not being clean physically. Physical cleanliness means cleaning all 9 gates of the body every single day, at least once in a day, with water. That's physical cleanliness. And then internal cleanliness comes from hearing and chanting transcendental knowledge from the right source. So, Shukadeva Goswami, way back in that first chapter of the second canto, he had already summarized all of this. He already told the king what to do. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shotavya Kirtatavyasya Smartavya Chetasa Bhayam. If you want to live fearlessly, Abhayam, without fear. Bhaya means fear. Abhayam means without fear. So if you want to die fearlessly or live fearlessly, then you have to do these things. Tasmat Bharata, oh, sign of Bharata, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara. Shrotavya, you have to hear about, Kirtatavya, so chant about or glorify. Smartavya, you have to also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the supreme person. God is a person, not just some impersonal construct. So he already summarized all of that back in the first chapter of the second canto. Jai, Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurantai ki jai. So why then did he take the time to go through all the stuff that's here in the fifth canto, description of the hellish planets, and why go through all that? Why not just go right to Krishna's pastimes? Again, because this knowledge is being presented for our benefit, to remind us that it's not a free ride. We don't have a free ride as human beings. The animals are not culpable. They don't accrue karma. If a lion or a dog or any animal kills a human being, because even dogs kill human beings, every year so many dogs kill human beings, not just lions and tigers and bears. But if an animal kills a human being, you cannot take them to court and charge them with murder. You can't. You may want to kill them so they don't kill somebody else, but you cannot charge them with a crime. Animals don't commit crimes. They don't have karma. So this fifth canto, these descriptions are here to remind us that we accrue karma. So we have to be very careful what we do. And activity begins on the subtle platform. First of all, you think about something. You develop some motivation, some feeling, and then you will yourself to act. So it starts up here. And again, those who have no control of the mind, the body may be fit, but if they don't have any control of the mind, then they will not act properly. They will not act properly. So activity actually begins on the subtle platform. Begins on the subtle platform. The mind is above the senses, but the mind has to be controlled by the intelligence. And that intelligence is sharpened by hearing the Vedic literatures, hearing from the spiritual master. So one of the reactions that we should have from hearing the fifth canto is we should be extremely grateful to Guru. Extremely grateful. The Guru, the spiritual master, has saved us from having to go through these hellish experiences again. Saved us. And therefore one, genuine disciple, feels gratitude towards the Guru for extending the rod of salvation, liberation to us. All we have to do is hold on. It's like if you're in a deep pit, you fell into a well, covered well in a field, you didn't see it, you fall in the well. Now you're yelling, help, help, help. Kakakaji, help. Pomoche. 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 And then somebody comes along and they lower a long stick or a rope into the deep well. What do you have to do? Hold on to it, and then they can pull you out. If you refuse to hold on, or if while they're pulling you out, you start looking around and you see something interesting and you let go, you're not going to get saved. So our responsibility, yes, Guru, at great effort, like Srila Prabhupada made such great effort to come and give us this knowledge, our responsibility is to hear that knowledge and act upon it. That's how we hold on, by acting upon it. Not just in one ear and out the other. This is very, very serious. Prabhupada is so serious about speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. If you listen to the recordings, I was just listening on the way here, there was one lecture Prabhupada was giving, was in Bombay, 74 I think. So Prabhupada is speaking and he's hearing, like this cutting. So he said, what is that noise? And somebody said, oh, they're cutting vegetables. He said, tell them to stop. The Bhagavatam is so important, should not be disturbed by any non-essential activity. And we should listen carefully. The proof that one is heard properly is that one acts properly. I think I've maybe told a story, but it's instructive, that after some time the Guru came to the temple community, so all the disciples gathered around. Guru Maharaj, paid obeisances and all that, Guru Maharaj is going to speak. So before Guru Maharaj speaks, he said, I would like some water. And then he keeps speaking and waiting, and nobody comes with water. Then he repeats, I would like some water. Nobody moves. Jai Guru Maharaj, nobody moves. So this is not hearing. You're not hearing properly. First of all, the advanced disciple would know Guru Maharaj is going to speak, therefore he needs water, so they bring water, and it's there, waiting. So at least, okay, they didn't do that. Not so advanced. But when the Guru Maharaj says, please bring me some water, and you don't bring it, that means you're really not hearing. So we should not be like that. We should not be like that. As disciples, we should hear what the spiritual master says and put it into action. And it's actually offensive not to do that. It's an offense. Once Srila Prabhupada was approached by some Indian gentleman who said, Swamiji, I'm really so happy what you're doing here. I would like to build you a temple. Okay, Prabhupada said, all right, no, that's nice. So they went on. This was like on a walk. And he said, but Swamiji, yes, I would like to. Because the man wanted Prabhupada to order him to do it. And Prabhupada never did. The whole time he never did. So at the end, the disciples asked Prabhupada, why didn't you order him to, he wanted to build it. Prabhupada said, he said, if I ordered him and he didn't do it, it would be a great offense. So it's an offense when the spiritual master gives an order and we don't carry it out. It's offensive. So this is our responsibility as disciples, aspiring disciples. We should be sure we're getting into the best situation. We should know that. But if we're not sure, it's better not to take those vows and then to take them and not follow through. So we should. I remember once in, I think it was like 89, I was in the New York temple. And I saw one brahmachari was packing. I said, where are you going? He said, oh, I'm going to L.A. I said, why? What's happening in L.A.? He said, and he was honest. He said, my guru is coming to New York. And if I'm here when he comes, he's going to give me some orders that I may not want to carry out. Some. So that's actually a higher platform than getting the order and not executing it. He knew his Guru Maharaj was going to come to New York and tell him to do something that he didn't want. And this was before email. You know, email was not prominent. So if he goes to L.A., the spiritual master, the best can call him. He's not going to send emails. So he knew. So he just said, my guru is coming. I don't want him to tell me to do something that I don't want to do, so I'm leaving. So that's actually a better platform again than hearing from the guru what to do and not doing it. So, but if we meditate just a little bit, we can understand that this Bhagavad Marga that we're so fortunate to have come in contact with is the best thing for us, is the best thing for everyone. It is the means by which we can please Krishna, and because in Kali Yuga we're not so fit for executing tapasya, it's been made very, very simple, very, very simple. Just follow the four regular principles of freedom, chant Hare Krishna, and you will go back to Godhead. Everybody can do that. Just chant. Sri Panchatattva have come to Lublin and you see them and they're in a dancing mood. They're inviting us, just dance with us, please. That's all. They're not asking for much. They don't ask you to pledge millions of euros or, of course, whatever money you have, you should use in their service. But they're not demanding anything. They're simply asking, please come, stand in front of us, chant Hare Krishna and dance. So who cannot do that? Everybody can do that. So if we find ourselves getting some other desire, I mean, this was so nice, we just had such a nice kirtan, not difficult at all. But if we find ourselves getting some other motivation, some other desire, go somewhere else and do something else, just tell the mind to shut up. Shut up. Don't be afraid to tell your own mind to be quiet. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta recommended that. In the morning, you should beat your mind with shoes. That means serious chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That's how you beat the mind with shoes. Chant seriously and hear clearly what you're chanting. And then in the evening, again, you beat your mind 1,000 times with a broom. So in this way, we have to take charge. It's not necessarily going to happen organically. We have to want it, and we have to strive for it. That's how it happens. We have energy. Most of you here are young. You have energy, good energy. While the mind is fit and the body is fit, employ it in Krishna service, and you'll see you're not the loser. And then this is what association with senior devotees gives you, that indication. Like again, I said yesterday, Maharaj has been practicing for 50 years, and you can see he's still enthusiastic and still going. So there has to be something there. You cannot fake it for 50 years. Maybe for a few minutes, few days, few weeks, you can fake it. But you can't fake it for 50 years. So there has to be something there that keeps you going for 50 years, chanting Hare Krishna every day, following the principles, preaching Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. It's nectar. It's nectar. You cannot fake it. If you're not getting a real taste, if you don't have a real taste, you cannot go on indefinitely for 50 years or more. You can't. So, in the beginning, yes, the taste may not be there. Rupa Goswami says that. In the beginning, one may not have a taste for chanting. It tastes bitter because of the jaundice of the tongue. This abhidhya, ignorance, is like jaundice. It's like jaundice. But he said, if you just keep on chanting, lo, just see, if you just keep on chanting with determination, with faith, with patience, then the jaundice of abhidhya will be cured. You'll start to see things clearly, hear things clearly, act properly. And the ecstasy that we're looking for, the happiness that we're looking for, will just keep increasing, increasing, increasing. Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Maybe one or two? We have a couple of minutes. Okay, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. You had something? What is your name? Urgai, Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning this reaction coming later from this useful point of view. I mean, probably you've heard this question a lot of time. Can you give reason why these reactions are scattered in such a strange manner according to the passage of time, during the passage of time? Wouldn't it be easier and for living being simpler and more sincere to get punishment as soon as possible after doing some improper action? What is the logic behind, or is it the possibility to kind of opportunity to enjoy, or it is connected to that, or is it desires? What is the logic?
Well, everything is conducted ultimately by the super soul, so I cannot speak for the super soul. But we should take it for granted that whatever the super soul arranges is perfect. One of the reasons could be that our desires are so disparate, so different. I want to be a king, and at the same time I want to swim like a fish in the ocean, and I have so many desires. So it may not be possible to arrange all of those in one shot. So okay, so you get a lifetime as a king, and then another lifetime as a dolphin, so you can swim in the waves. And Prabhupada said that, you know. He said, for instance, when he was in Hawaii, he saw that a lot of young men especially were surfing every day. So he explained that they will take birth as fish. So there was one devotee, he just told a story actually in New Dorka. His name is Sri Raga, our god brother. Do you know Sri Raga? Yeah. So he said, he was there, he was from Hawaii, so he was an avid surfer. So when Prabhupada said, he was in the class, but he heard, if you're a surfer and you don't engage in Krishna consciousness, then you will come back as a fish. So he continued to surf practically every day. And then when the Bodhi said, didn't you hear Prabhupada's class? He said, if you're a surfer, you're going to come back as a fish. He said, no, that's not what I heard. Prabhupada said, if you surf and you don't engage in Krishna consciousness, then you will come back as a fish. But he said later on, he went to the transcript of that particular lecture. That's not what Prabhupada said. He heard something different from what Prabhupada said because he had such a strong desire to go surfing. So, yeah, our desires are very disparate, and sometimes, you know, it takes time for the super soul to satisfy them all. So you may have to take 100 lifetimes to satisfy just the few desires that you're building up in this lifetime. Okay, anything else? Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.